Blog Talk Radio.
People see me walking down the street, they all run and hide. I used to take it personally, not take it in stride. I got nothing against no one, I wouldn't hurt a fly. But people seem to think I'm mean, and here's why. Here's why. Sunday Night Advocates, episode 19 of this season of the Pitbull Advocate. My name is Dogfather.
And my name is Diane Lynn.
And who's on tonight, Diane? I think we got a good one.
We have a good one. We have Sydney Cross. She's president of Out of the Pits. I think it's going to be a pretty good show here.
Yeah, if you've ever wondered what actually really goes in inside the world of rescue, everybody's familiar with the Pit Boss. Everybody's familiar with Tia and Pit Bulls and Parolees. And Out of the Pits is no different than these groups. And my understanding, Diane, is that they have a lot more going on other than just being a pit bull rescue group, but they're also really active with community efforts with dog owners and so on. Yeah, we're going to hear about that too. I want to say hey to a couple of our favorite people out there, people that really support us and others in the world of animal advocacy. And one of those is Debbie Dahmer over at Voices Carry for Animals. They're beyond tomorrow night.
Yeah, hi, Debbie. Hi, Debbie.
See, I did this last week. See, I'm still stuck in Wednesday,
Thursday
night.
Yeah, because you were thinking it was Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe we should just go back to Wednesday night, you know? I don't know. I see 715.
Okay.
Hang on there. Hang on the line there, 715. We're going to get right with you real soon. But, and Paul's Cause Radio, they're out there doing their thing too. And of course, Diane, everybody over at your house, we love pit bulls. And thank you, everybody over there, for your support. So, Joe Frazier is, Joe's going to be in a little bit later. He's got the things going on with his own. Joe, Love a Pit Rescue, speaking of rescues. Busy man, very busy man over there. And hopefully we'll get him back in here tonight and find out what's going on. Because I miss hearing Cricket back there with that little squeak, squeak, squeak going on there and her keeping us forever entertained in there. Diane, you got anything, any updates or anything going on here before we get Sydney on here?
No. I believe we're going to have some callers in tonight. We already have one called in there, and which is the whole, we need the people to get the show going. And, you know, I have my bribery going, so.
Yeah. What? Johnny, tell them what we got tonight. I understand. Diane has some gifts for our callers tonight. Real quick, we got buttons and bracelets. So what we're going to do, you listen to this, we're going to take your number down. Diane, start writing, because I know we've got two gifts that we're probably going to be throwing out tonight. So we're going to take your number down, Advocate, and we're going to call you after the show or tomorrow when it's most convenient for you, so we can make arrangements to get your thank you gift from the Pitbull Advocate. So, all righty. Okay, there we go. Let's go ahead and do this right now. Sydney, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hey,
I'm
welcome
here.
To the Pitfall Advocate. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here tonight.
It's a blessing
so
to be here.
I'm just going to roll right in here, and I'm going to ask you how long you've been involved in advocacy and rescue, and what was your catalyst, I guess, so to speak, for you to start your own group, like, out of the pits?
Well, interestingly, I did Greyhounds for 12 years, and another lady, Mary Allen, and I met each other. I'm a photographer, and she's a writer, and she hired me to photograph a weight pull pit bull named Tux, who had pulled 3,750 pounds, and I did photographs of him pulling a Ford Escort for her article. And in our conversation, it turned out that she had been doing Greyhounds for a very long time, and she ended up with a little pit bull that had been thrown out of a car on the Taconic State Parkway.
Oh.
And she was brought into a vet's office while she was there with the Greyhound, and they were going to euthanize her. And she said, oh, don't do that. I'll take her home. So she took home this six-month-old white pit bull. And in the meantime, in my years of doing the Greyhounds, an organization in Indiana took in a pregnant Greyhound, and it turned out that the father was a pit bull. So none of the Greyhound people would take him. So I took, unbeknownst to me and unbeknownst to her, I took puppies and fell madly in love with one. And she was pit bull and Greyhound, and her name is Rose. And through her, I started researching the breed. And then Mary and I spoke a few times after that, and we decided there were so many people helping Greyhounds, and pretty much nobody was doing anything with pit bulls because we're going back 25 years now. And
I've noticed that too.
Yeah, so Out of the Pits popped in my mind, and I said, what do you think about Out of the Pits? And she liked it, so Out of the Pits was born. It was just the two of us starting out, and I had all the dogs at my house, and she did the beginnings of the computer work, and so we started moving forward.
25 years. Awesome.
Yep.
Hey, Diane, I know you got questions, but let's take advantage of these callers tonight, because I was really stoked. 715? Can you turn your volume down on your speaker there, please? Hello, 715?
Hi, this is Michael.
Are you? Michael, hey, are you listening?
Hi, Michael.
Do you have a song in the background, Michael?
Hold on. I had you on speaker because that's what my phone kind of has to do, because I'm on a cell phone.
Okay, yeah, we're getting a lot of echo and delay on there. Michael, how you doing?
I'm doing good. My number to. I gave the number for the talk show to my friend Erin, and I think she's listening right now, one of the listeners.
Okay.
And
hi, Erin.
She posted it in our group chat.
Awesome. Good deal. Hey, have you got a question for Sydney tonight?
Not at the moment.
Okay.
I'm kind of also...
You want to hang out tonight? You can hang out in the studio with everybody here. How about that? All right. I'm going to leave your mic open, Michael, okay? And if you have any questions, anything comes up, just go on. Any questions for Sydney, you go right ahead and ask, all right?
Okay.
All right. Hang tight here. We're going to try this one right here. Could we get a winner? 920, you're on the Pit Bull Advocate. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Hello, 920. You're on the air. 920-917. All right. Give us a call back there, and we'll try and get you connected there. Okay, Diane, I know you were ready to chime in there, so you go right ahead. I'm gonna let you take over.
Oh no, I find what she does and have done it for 25 years is just extraordinary.
We're very, very fortunate. We're very fortunate that we have volunteers that everyone is a volunteer and we're all non-paid. And as we started growing, Mary and I realized that education and spay neuter was really the only two real reasons that would be able to move forward, because if less dogs were dying from being spayed and neutered and more people were keeping their dogs and helping with their education. So we worked hard about, as a trainer and a behaviorist, we offered help to people that were going to surrender their dogs. Anybody that contacts us, we do that for free for them to help them keep their dogs. And we're really a community service organization. We help veterans, we help single parents, we help people on disabilities and seniors with their dogs. We have a part of our organization called Pit Bulls Helping Pit Bulls. So we help people with vet care. The emergency clinics and area vets call us if they have someone that has a dog that's been injured or has problems. And we set aside some finances so that we can help these folks. We also supply food for some families that have come on to hard times with circumstances in the world. And so we really feel that it's really important to be able to help people, and by helping the people, we're helping the dogs on a large magnitude.
You answered at least two of the questions I had for you. I was going to say a lot of people, you know, when they think Pit Bull Rescue Group or any animal rescue group, that's kind of your where you're at. This is what we rescue pit dogs and pit bull dogs or whatever, and you find them homes and so on in short terms. But I wanted to find out what other kind of things that you're into, and being so involved with the community. How many you talked about veteran services. Do you know how many currently, how many people that your group out of the pits serves, and how many of those would be veterans?
Sometimes people don't originally say, you know, that they're veterans. We sometimes find that out as we build relationship with them. We haven't turned people away at all, so... Oh, I can't even. We get about 1,000 calls and emails a week asking us either to take dogs or to help with the dogs. Yeah, about 1 in 800 pit bulls get homes. So when you consider, you know, the amount of people, and this is, you know, nationwide, we actually get calls worldwide. We had someone from Lebanon call us, and it was real interesting because I live near a place that's 15 minutes away that's called New Lebanon, and they said Lebanon, and mm-hmm. I said, oh, that's great, and they said Beirut. So it was journey with that. So we work from home first because we work with, you know, local police, animal control, shelters, and then as we have space, we reach out to other areas as they contact us, because we feel like it's important to help the local dogs first, and then as we have space, we reach out. We've taken hurricane dogs, and over the years, we've helped with raids such as Michael Vick, with the 367, with the recently the Polk County raid, the Delta Dogs raid. As people contact us, we try. A lot of times, I'll be asked to go and evaluate some of the dogs, so we try very hard to help as we can. Sometimes it's only one dog, but when you have, 119 dogs that you're trying to find space for, even one dog is a help.
Yeah. And
definitely.
So you are also an animal behaviorist, Sydney, correct?
Yes, I do dogs. Yep, I teach classes. I'm an adjunct professor at SUNY Cobleskill, and I train students to train therapy dogs. That's my part of the dog program.
A dog professor. I like that.
Yeah,
I like that.
It's where
so your volunteers must be set to a pretty high standard, I imagine, with your background. You must have some pretty awesome volunteers working for you.
We're very, very blessed. We have people that are they have jobs and families. Some of them are, professionals. A lot of them are just amazing. We have people, I don't do Facebook, but we have administrators that take care of the Facebook. We have people that do events. We have people that do volunteers. We have people that do foster and people that, find new products for us and everything. So it's Mary and I every once in a while just shake our heads. We can't believe that a little tiny organization has people that want to help the dogs, which is what it's all about.
Yeah. Now, on average, you say you get as far as your Facebook crew, I did notice that they were really a lot of people were sharing this episode, and that we get people to tune in and listen. That's great, but this is a call-in show, advocates, and we've got some gifts for you if you want to call in here and ask some questions or join the conversation. 929-477-2860. 929-477-2860. Don't make Diane and I do all the talking, but then we've got Sydney here, and we want you to ask the questions to Sydney. So give us a call, 929-477-2860, and we got a call here. Let's go ahead and do this real quick. See what we got. And there we go. 920. You're on the Pitbull Advocate. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Hello, 920. You're on the air. Can you hear me? 920 error code. You're on the Pitbull Advocate. Okay, we're going to put that one back on hold. I'm not going to disconnect. Oh, there they go. Boop. Anyway, that's the way it goes. Give us a call back, and we'll get you back in the queue here. So losing my train of thought. So, Cindy, with 25 years, you got a question. Go ahead, Michael. You got the mic.
The 920 is my friend. She just doesn't really want to talk. She just wants to listen.
Okay. Well, have her give a call back we'll go ahead and leave that on there. That's cool. That's all right. What's her name?
Okay.
What's your friend? What's your friend's name, Michael?
Aaron.
Aaron, okay, all right. Yeah, tell Aaron, give us a call back. All right, thanks, Michael.
Okay.
Cindy, 25 years in Pitbull Rescue. What are some of the things that when you reflect back on those 25 years, what are some of the things that you look at and that just make you, like you say, when you look at your volunteers, you just shake your head, you just can't believe the dedication you've got. What are some of the things that come back to you and make you think that it's really worth it?
Well, I would have to say that the foster homes, we're very fortunate. We have quite a few foster homes for dogs that are 6 months old and under, and it's very hard to find foster homes for adult pit bulls because most people have multi-dog homes, and you're never sure how you know, a group of dogs is going to work. So we do, you know, when you consider these folks are 24/7, you know, nursing puppies there. We have some bottle raisers that have helped us save some amazing puppies. We just had a puppy that a local vet called and said that it had a huge wound on its back and the people didn't want to pay for it to be fixed. So they wondered if we had anybody that would do a five day old puppy. So I called one of our bottle raisers.
Oh boy!
She said, of course, yeah, bring it in. So I called one of the other girls that will a lot of times will take a dog like from a vet to another place. And I called her and said, "Be afraid, be very afraid." And she said, "What do you got?" And I said, "How about a 5 day old puppy that needs to get to foster?" And she said, "Absolutely." So she dropped what she was doing, and she took the puppy to the foster. And he's up on our site now. He's up for adoption. And he's all healed up, and he's ready to be adopted. So I think it's amazing
all right.
to see these folks will feel, you know, they do a lot of cleaning up of poop and doing a lot of
oh,
amazing.
Yeah.
We supply all the mm-hmm. food and vet care and everything for our fosters. So if someone is fostering for us, we take care of all that for them, and they put their time and their love and, you know, getting them out to adoption clinics and everything, which is amazing. I mean, we couldn't do what we do without the folks that are willing to do that for us.
A lot of people don't realize that there's so much involved. Like, you need Clorox, you need towels, you need bleach, you need blankets, you need beds.
Newspaper.
Lots of
newspaper.
Lots and lots of food. Lots of food. Lots of sleepless nights with you know, puppies that might have had to go to the emergency room.
Yeah, I did. Everybody's still there? Did I lose this?
Yep.
Okay, there we go.
Yep.
Okay. I'm getting ding-ding-dinged over here. I fostered a litter of eight with their mother, and I found out the reason one reason in particular among others why I don't breed dogs, because this it is
a lot of work.
It's a 24/7 wake up, clean up, feed. And fortunately, my roommate was stayed at home a lot, and he goes, "I got it covered." So he'd do the afternoon cleaning, then there was the evening cleaning, you know, and it was this constant rotation of just, "Oh my God, will you grow up?"
Very good learning experience.
It really is.
That's why a lot of people that, you know, you'll see these backyard breeder people that they don't realize that the puppies have to be weaned. They have to have psychological experiences. The puppy's rule of 12 is critical to puppies being able to be prepared for the world. And, you know, getting them out to classes to get exposure in only positive ways. We have some volunteers that are willing to take dogs to class so that they can get their canine good citizens. We recently had one that she got adopted yesterday, actually, and she earned her therapy dog certification with it. Yeah, so we have a lot of teams of therapy dogs that are out in the world. We have programs for helping children to be safe around dogs. We have people in hospitals, nursing homes. I've been visiting a prison for 7 years with my dogs. We have people that are out, you know, doing that in hospitals. It's really pretty amazing because the dogs do a wonderful time promoting themselves. People are amazed at how wonderful the pit bulls are, you know, with people as therapy dogs. And it's a beautiful thing to see a dog that lived on its chain for 6.5 years to become a therapy dog and bring lots of joy to people.
Yeah. Now, you also train service dogs, Sydney, yes?
That's my question. Go ahead.
I do any any veterans that would like to come to classes, they can come for free so that they could get Canine Good Citizens on their dogs. A dog that's a service dog can't be a therapy dog as well. You have to have the service dog is for the human and the therapy dog is for the world. So a lot of people mistake that therapy dogs are service dogs, and they're not actually. The therapy dogs serve the world, and service dogs serve themselves, meaning the human. So,
just answered my question.
Okay, cool.
You're awesome. I just let you
know.
Talk. You're beating it. Go ahead, Diane.
I need her on my side for my pit bulls as service dogs because, you know, there's been like three or four, at least around my area here over in Pennsylvania, where children, autistic children, have gone missing and ended up dead. And the parents are kind of freaking out, so they want to get the dog, you know, can this dog be a therapy dog? Can it be an emotional dog? What do I have to do to train this dog? Because autistic children wander away, and it's not safe to tie the dog to the child.
No, it isn't. There's so many varieties of service dogs. You know, you have seizure alert dogs, mm-hmm. you have now cancer dogs, you have post-traumatic stress syndrome, you have, you know, emotional support dogs. So there's so many. You know, finding a person in their area that would be able to work on training. There's been a lot of back and forth about emotional support dogs that haven't had any training, which kind of hurts it for the other people because you want to make sure that the dogs are well trained, they can handle being out and about.
Right.
There's in our area, there's a organization that helps service dogs for veterans, and they have to get their Canine Good Citizen. They have their own testing that they do. They have to get their Canine Good Citizen Urban, and then they can be working, you know, with veterans that can now have real lives. It's amazing because the world is really recognizing how valuable dogs are, and it's a real blessing to be part of that.
Yeah. Hey, Advocates, we're getting down to the last 2 minutes of the show here, of what we call regulation time. So we're going to also go on to go just past our 30-minute mark so we can finish things off and not have to rush Sydney off so quick. Really, Advocate, 929-477-2860. There's a chat room down there. Which I don't think any of us have been able to figure that out yet. But, Michael, I heard you there real quick. Did you have a question or for Sydney?
Actually, I have something to say about pit bulls, if that's okay.
Do you want to? Is this another thing that you've written?
It's actually something I've learned about pit bulls, about them, like what the. Kind of out of words.
Is this something you've written?
No, it's something I researched.
Okay. Go ahead.
Research.
You all right?
I researched show dogs and like pit bulls were one of the first few dogs on film.
They are. Absolutely, they are. Yeah. Did you also know there was more than one pit bull on the Little Rascals other than Petey?
Yeah.
Yeah. 10 seconds here on the regulation time app. Because hang on a second there, Michael. We're getting down to the last few seconds. We want to make sure that everybody stays on here. And 3, 2, 1. Stick with us, advocates. Going into overtime, and I see everybody still here. I can't recall the name of that episode, but I'm gonna have to look that up and we'll put that on the Pitbull Advocate. Derby Day. Look that one up, advocates. Sydney, you might get a kick out of that one too. Derby Day. And there are probably about 3 or 4 pit bulls in that particular episode. So absolutely correct on that, Michael. Sydney, have you got any closing kind of things that you want to get out there that we haven't touched on yet with about out of the pits?
Well, I would just say, as far as pit bulls, there's so much controversy here and there, but the real blessing is that people are starting to actually really recognize that this is about the humans. The world about dogs is about humans. And when dogs have challenges, I tell everyone to look at the other end of the leash, which is our end of the leash, because dogs can only
always
be dogs. It's our responsibility to keep safe, to train them, and to help them to be able to be all they can be. And every single dog is an individual. Each dog is going to be, a little different. I would say that, people say to me, well, should every home in America have a pit bull? And I say no, because a lot of them don't deserve to have one, because they want to share your life. They're active dogs. They are, it's an inspiration to me to see the dogs that have come from unspeakable cruelty working and sharing their lives as therapy dogs. It's such a amazing inspiration, because they just wake up and live every day like we were designed to, but we think too much.
Yeah, they are resilient. I'm biased, and I know everybody else here is biased, but the dogs that we know and love as pit bull, there's no better dog. Wow. I can't see myself having any other type of dog in my house. Second to none.
Interestingly, a lot of people who end up with pit bulls who never knew they were pit bulls find out, they say, they would never have another breed. And I work with tons of different types of dogs, and the pit bulls are always willing to do an extra bit of work for us. And certain dogs are saying, okay, I'm done now, but these guys will just keep going and going and going, which is really pretty cool.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Diane, any closing words tonight?
Oh, no. I think Susan did an excellent job covering everything.
All right. Hey, Michael, are you still there?
Yeah.
Really appreciate you calling
okay.
in, and I was looking for your poem you had written for us the first time you called into the show, and I wanted to put that as our closer. So, can I use that next week? Would you let me use that next week on the show, so everybody can hear that again?
You can use it on the show whenever you want.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm gonna actually put that back on her page so y'all can go back and listen to this. It's something Michael had written about his love of the pit bull. It's really cool. I appreciate that, Michael. Thanks again.
Yep.
Sydney, thank you so much for being with us and putting up with us. And so happy we finally got you back on. And I'd really like to get you back here sometime soon. Well, actually, Diane, the hardest working woman in social media, has a book through November. So which is pretty awesome. Thank you, Diane. But we really love to have you back, Sydney.
I would
love
to
have you back.
Thank you very much. It would be an honor.
All right, and we're gonna post your link there of your boy that you currently have for adoption that you were speaking of earlier on our Pitbull Advocate page on Facebook, and get the word out on that boy.
That would be great. We have a three-legged guy too, who's a wonderful guy.
My wife is she's gonna fall in that one. I guarantee it. Guarantee it. All right. Hey, you've been listening to the Pitbull Advocate. My name is Dogfather, and to my right, Diane Lynn. Thank you so much. Sydney Cross from Out of the Pits, out there doing the work. Work. Thank you all so much for what you do.
Thank you, Sydney. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Thank you, guys.
And I'm ashamed I ever tried to be higher than the rest. But brother, I am not alone. We've all tried to be on top of the world somehow, 'cause we have all been losers. I don't want to be laid down. No, I don't want to die nowhere. That I spent so much time when I was young, just trying to be the winner. So I wanna make it clear now. I wanna make it known that I don't care about any of that shit no more. Don't care about being a winner or being fools with women, or going out on Friday, being the life of parties. No, no more, no. There will always be someone worse than you. Don't let it get to your head, 'cause you won't be on top of the world so long. In constant competition, this ain't about no one in particular, but I can list a few. I'm removing myself from the queue. Don't care about being a winner or being
Hey, good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you.
Thank you.